Welcome to the TFD Performance Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Sullivan, and this is the show where we break down popular science into easily digestible and actionable information to give you the blueprint to be a high performer in your life. Today, I'm joined by TFD dietitians Jack Doherty and Lauren Nash, and we are discussing whether or not weight should be used as a metric to track progress. In this episode, we'll cover why body weight and body composition is a polarizing subject when it comes to discussions around health, when we think it's appropriate to use it, when we think it is not, how to handle the mental implications that regularly checking the scales can bring, and whether performance athletes need to be regularly checking their weight or not. This is a really informative episode, so let's get to it. All right, we are live for another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. I feel like we've been away from the podcast for a few weeks, so I thought we would do not a full team one. We've got everyone but Dojo and I had to jump on yesterday. So everyone, welcome. Loz and Ash and Jack Doherty. Loz and Jack, thanks for coming on.
No worries. Good morning. Thanks for having us. It's nice to get back into the podcast and chat to both of you at once. How good is that?
Good to be back.
And Jack, you're battling a bit of the spicy cough down in Melbourne, eh?
Yeah, I finally got the spicy cough, hence my voice is a slight bit deeper than usual.
Yeah, we have a running joke in the crew that Jack has like the perfect voiceover voice if you were doing like a meditation podcast or something. It's something I think we should definitely explore, and I'm interested to see how your voice holds up for this one. But anyway, let's get into it, because today I want to talk about a topic somewhat polarizing. I think it can be somewhat polarizing, but I think it's important to talk about. I think it's important to talk about if you do what we do, especially what we do when we work with so many weight category athletes. And now, especially that we're working with a lot of Gen Pop and going out into other sports, and we've all got our own background, all sporting backgrounds, and I'm sure we've all dealt with this. And this is the concept of weight. And when I talk about weight, we're talking about the number that you see when you step on the scale. There's a lot of debate when it comes about it. There's a lot of debate when you talk about, should you use it or should you not use it? Is it a worthwhile measurement when you're planning out someone, say, nutrition plan? Should you even think about their body weight? Should you not use it? Is it detrimental? I want to get your guys' thoughts. I want to have like an open, honest discussion about it, get your guys' thoughts and, you know, what's worked with your clients and the experience of what's worked with your own sporting background, how it's all been. I guess, first and foremost, I guess I'll throw it over to you, Jack. Just give us an overview. I know this is going to sound kind of simple, but like if we're talking about weight, can you just break down what weight is, what it is, what are the components of it, everything to do with weight? Give us a quick 30-second spiel.
A quick spiel. Well, the one that people most concentrate, obviously, is the scale weight, which is just your total body weight. That's something that, you know, I think whether you're a competitive athlete or you're not, is something that people focus on a lot of. And a lot of the time, in terms of that, we disregard the components of that, which is obviously fat mass, bone mass, and just tissue mass as well. So that's the components that kind of we look at and talk about. But I think what the general population people or everyone speaks about is general scale weight.
Yeah, it's a good overview. Like, it's essentially, it's just how much does your body weigh, right? And that's the number that you see, but your weight is composed of a lot of different things. And I think that's where a lot of this debate comes up, right? It's like your weight is composed of what we call your fat-free mass, which is like things like your lean muscle or your muscle mass, your cartilage, your bone, things like that. And then your fat mass, which is obviously your subcutaneous fat, and then your visceral fat, which is the fat around your organs. Different body compositions can hold different views in the public eye. And when it comes to doing what we do, right, in sports performance, I'm not going to say that there's a perfect body composition, because I firmly believe that there's absolutely not a perfect body composition, but there definitely are body compositions that you can aim for to achieve certain goals. So we deal with this a lot in our practice. And again, I think it can be a bit polarizing when you take this out to the general population. But I think, Loz, let's throw it over to you. And I think I want to talk about this early just so we can get it out of the way, and then we can go on with what we want to talk about it. Why is weight so polarizing? I think this is a good one for you to talk about too, Loz, because you're the newest member. You've come out and you've probably graduated in a time, probably when me and Jack were studying back, this wasn't really spoken about much when I was going to university, like a decade ago, which is kind of sad. We didn't really talk about why is there this weight stigma and why is it so polarizing. Give us your thoughts. Why is it weight such a polarizing issue?
Yeah, for sure. And I think it is super important to talk about, because, you know, most of, obviously, yes, we work with athletes, and sometimes at the most elite level, they're not really too phased about their weight or their body composition. But for the general public, a lot of people do come to us with goals about weight or, you know, or body fat percentage. And even when I'm talking to clients, you know, the amount of comments they'll make without realizing, I think, about their weight, or, oh, you know, when I got my scan, I couldn't believe my body fat percentage was this. And it's like, okay, well, does that make you feel any different about yourself for knowing that number? So I think, you know, it is really important to have these chats about body weight, body stigma. If I'm being totally honest with you, I think the current, you know, kind of climate is a lot better than it has been over even the last 5 years. And I think that's going to be largely due to the haze or the health at every size movement, which we can all dig in a later podcast. And, you know, being a female myself, obviously males also experience kind of body stigma or that pressure to look a certain way. But I think currently, I think it's a lot better than it did stand in terms of that body weight. You know, you have to be, you know, slim, or you have to be toned. And I'm not saying that that doesn't still exist, because it 100% does still exist. But, you know, even if you're looking in the media now, you know, you scroll through social media, a few years ago, all you would see was, you know, weight loss photos, toned people. But now, you know, massive brands, they're a lot more inclusive. We've got larger models. We've got models of all shapes and sizes. Clothes brands, you know, they're a bit more accommodating these days. So I think in general, there is a big move towards making people feel more accepted at whatever body weight, which I think is obviously super great. But also when we come back to health, performance, what are everyone's goals? Generally, the most common consensus is everybody wants to get smaller, or everybody wants to get leaner. And I think it can be, you know, more prominent in, say, certain sports or certain kind of groups, but across the board, generally, there is always this consensus of, okay, need to get smaller, or, you know, can't be a big person.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that whole dieting culture, right? Like, the whole foundation of it is that you lose weight to get into a smaller body. And that's been around for decades and decades, right? Loz, I want to keep it with you. Can you kind of explain to us, we won't dig too much into the Haze movement, because we'll have a whole separate podcast. We'll dig through the evidence of all of that, and we'll talk about, give everyone our thoughts about that. But can you just give us a quick summary of what is the overview of it? Like, why is it important that we have these conversations and that a movement like Haze is there?
Yeah, so Health at Every Size, for those of you who maybe haven't heard of it before, it's pretty much encouraging the thought that you are healthy at any size, or any body size, whether you're small or you're large. And it's, you know, trying to create that space of inclusivity and comfortableness, like comfortability in your own body shape and your body image. Because as we all know, having, you know, negative connotations around your body image can be really damaging short and long term. I've had, you know, a lot of personal experience in that space, which ultimately got me to where I am today as a dietitian, because it does have a huge impact on both males and females. But I think also the issue with the health at every size kind of approach, especially, you know, as health professionals, is we're very aware that someone who's extremely slim, you know, possibly has an eating disorder background, can be very unhealthy. And the same way that someone that's really overweight can have other comorbidities. So I think there's definitely a spectrum in terms of, when does the health at every size approach, you know, is it when is it okay? Because we're very aware that, you know, being on the other end, like being on both ends, whether severely underweight or severely overweight, can have its own health implications. But the general consensus of, you are healthy at every body size, whether, you know, you're a little bit fluffier than normal, or, you know, whether your normal body weight is different to someone else's body weight. I do like the general kind of gist of it, because I think it's really important to feel, you know, appreciated, or like you can feel your own self, because having that past of, you know, not a great relationship with my own body, I really can appreciate it now. And I think a lot of other people do as well, because even talking to, you know, friends, it's not as pressing, I think, as it used to be in terms of, oh my gosh, I need to look like her, or I need to look like this. So I think it has, personally, as a female, I'm not sure if you guys would have any different kind of approach, but I think there has been a positive shift in body image and body composition. But of course, you know, especially for us dealing with athletes or people who usually come to a dietitian to lose weight, it's still very prevalent in terms of, everybody feels, because of this stigma, that they have to be slimmer or they have to be a lower body weight. And sometimes people come, oh, you know, I want to lose 10 kilos. And it's like, okay, well, where did you pick this number from? And why do you think you're going to feel better 10 kilos lighter when, you know, you actually look great and you feel great right now? So it's, I think, as well, people's ideas of, okay, they have to be slimmer or they have to be lighter to be a better person or to look better. But there's so much more than that.
Jack, I want to throw it over to you and get your thoughts on it. Scientific minded guy, when you talk about this with clients, or even when you go through it in your own mind and rationalize it, what type of things are you thinking about when you're thinking about, you know, this whole we keep saying Hayes movement, we're not going to talk about it. We just keep talking about it. But when we talk about this whole like body positivity, you can be healthy at any weight. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think that going back to what Lauren said about like scale weight and stuff, I think that it's just scale weight is the easiest variable to track. So if you're not, if you can't look at different markers and it's just a daily thing that you can kind of track, it's, people find it easy and kind of obsess about the number. And I think as what we've spoken about with body positivity, I think that, you know, the pressures of society now and Instagram and stuff like that, I think people don't really know how to objectively look at themselves with a realistic touch and be like, okay, well, I'm progressing. I've lost a bit of weight here. They're always looking for perfection. So I think people rely on the scale weight because simply they've lost the tools to be able to kind of objectively look at themselves or even look at the variables of like how they're feeling. But in terms of like the Hayes movement or similar approaches in terms of body positivity, regardless of your body size, I think, yeah, there's some people who are genetically, will hold different, have different body compositions than others. But again, I think that it's important to have that in mind. Like, obviously, I do a lot of posting about positive relationship with food and self, which I think is very important and something that I promote with my clients, you know, on a weekly to daily basis. But I also think it's very important to not forget the scientific component, which is looking at blood work, looking at the factors that we can look from the science, exactly like blood work, to make sure that, you know, outside of how we're feeling and you know, looking, that, you know, we're looking at the internal factors to make sure we are healthy. Because at the end of the day, sometimes if you have excess adipose tissue, that can, you know, negatively impact some of the health markers that we track as dietitians or just as health practitioners.
For me personally, I remember when I first started talking about this and it really became real, and I'm sure like my mother will not mind me talking about this on a podcast, I think this is a big reason why I get passionate about it, is like she battled with weight for a long time, which no doubt in some psychological weird way probably drove me to get into dietetics. But I remember years and years ago when I was still living at home with my parents, I was finishing my master's degree. She came home and her doctor had a letter saying that she needed to see a dietitian because she had NAFLD or non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which is now called MAFLD, which is metabolic associated liver disease. And then there's a treatment for that, right? Like there's a very specific treatment, and that treatment involves losing weight. Like losing weight will cause a reduction of the symptoms. And if they get worse, that can get really, really serious. And then over the next 3 months, like we put her on a plan that reduced her calories, that reduced certain nutrients. And then within 6 months, that problem was completely gone. She lost a bunch of weight and she was able to keep it off. Like given she did live with like a dietitian, that was someone that was 6 months off being graduated for a dietitian. That's not really a normal circumstance where you can get all your meals watched and made for you, but it does work, right? And she's so much healthier for doing that. And if that didn't happen, there would have been negative consequences. So I think it's important, like when you have that conversation, right? Like you can't ignore that side of it. Like you can't ignore that if there are issues there, you can't just be like, okay, no, that's fine to be like that. Just like anything else, like if you cut your hand and it's bleeding out profusely, you can't just ignore that. No, that's bad. You could probably bleed out. Like that's an issue. It's the same with this.
Like with every client, regardless of body composition, you know, I believe in treating, like looking at the scenario for everyone the same. So regardless if you're overweight, underweight, I still look through the blood work or look at all the variables to assess, you know, the health status, regardless of that. And I think that's something that, you know, can be, you know, talking about these things. And like, yeah, the Hayes movement in a lot of ways is fantastic. I believe that, you know, it's promoting so many fantastic things, and body positivity is something that's been lost in this generation, I perceive, and stuff like that. And everyone looks different. But again, going back to that point, like, it's just like, we should treat everyone the same regardless of body composition. Look at all the, you know, the scientific variables we can to make sure someone is at optimal health. Because at the end of the day, yes, we can accept the way we look, but if we're talking about longevity and health and, you know, optimal function and energy levels as a human being, we should always, you know, look at every variable and try to fix them if they're not in the optimal range.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, health can't be dictated by number on the scales. So, you know, for any of our clients or if anyone that's looking to work with us, you know, we always like, we'd love if you could get some, you know, some new bloods or an updated body scan. And, you know, and that's not because we want to know every single, you know, we want to scrutinize you for what your body fat percentage is. But having this information really helps us to get a better picture of your overall health, because, you know, you might think, oh, I'm severely overweight or something. And we look at your biochem markers, you know, looking great, or could be the other way around. You might be feeling great. You're at a awesome body fat percentage. So you perceive, we look at your blood markers, you know, maybe you've got high cholesterol or all these other things as well. You know, you can't look at someone and say, oh, you've got liver disease. Oh, you've got high cholesterol. You know, oh, you're iron deficient. You know, we have to take a deeper look into this, because at the end of the day, health isn't just about body weight. It's about overall health. So I think, you know, it is great having this discussion and helping people to understand, you know, how we can interpret results such as blood markers or body composition scans, because, you know, that number on the scale doesn't really tell you anything other than your total body mass.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, right? I think something we can all recognize is, how many times have you seen someone that you would look at and they come in and we treat them and they come in as a client and you go, whoa, they're like in a really good shape. They perceive to be really healthy. And then you look at their blood markers and you go, oh man, like their cholesterol is quite high. They've got all these other background issues. And you go, you know what? They may look on the surface like they're really healthy, but we need to address all of these things, because if we don't, there's going to be downstream health consequences in the future, regardless of what they look like. And even though people will look at them and go, oh man, they're the pinnacle of health, when you dig a little deeper, you go, you know what? They're not. And that's for certain habits. And that's our job, right? Before you can do any of the things that we do in sports performance or body composition change, you need to get that baseline metabolic health in check, right? Like they can't be going into a deficit zone when they've got this high cholesterol, they've got low iron, all these other things like vitamin deficiencies. You've got to address all of that, because not only will it affect their sports performance goals or whatever else, there's long-term health consequences with that as well.
Yeah, I think it's, and it's vice versa. Like some people might come in with, you know, a high body fat percentage, but their blood work might be absolutely perfect. So again, we're not saying that, you know, that people who have a, you know, who are, you know, have more fat tissue than others are unhealthy by any means. Some people can be incredibly healthy at different sites. And that's what we're talking about. Different body composition. There's no perfect body composition. Everyone's genetics are different. Everyone's cultural backgrounds are different. And everyone's body comp will be different. So that's something we always take into account. So I just think that overall, we just got to look at all factors instead of just concentrating on certain ones that, you know, fit a certain narrative. That's what I'm saying. I think that sometimes with any diet or any movement, sometimes we can concentrate on one narrative and forget others, which what I'm saying, or we're kind of saying, is just like, let's, again, keep looking at the whole picture for that one person rather than just trying to fit narratives.
Anything to add there, Loz?
I was just thinking, I'm not necessarily, you know, one of those anti-diet dietitians or whatever, but I think, you know, mostly working with, you know, performance athletes, you know, CrossFit athletes or endurance athletes, you know, their goal isn't focused on a weight. So, you know, my approach is always about fueling and, you know, kind of how you feel at training, how you're looking, as opposed to, you know, a number on the scales. And I've had a few, I guess, colleagues now, not just friends, kind of say, oh, well, if you have that approach, you know, how can we work with, you know, combat athletes that have to make weight that's so unhealthy? And I think, you know, before I came into this world, I probably had a similar approach of, oh my gosh, can't believe these guys, you know, they're so focused on their body weight, X, Y, Z. But again, you know, this comes into it, when is it necessary to utilize weight as a tracker of progress? Because, you know, with combat athletes, they have a goal in mind, you know, they want to fight at a certain weight. They're not cutting this weight down to look great or, you know, to reduce their body fat percentage so they look great at the beach. You know, they're cutting their weight so that they can enter this event at a certain weight class. And then, you know, most of the time, pretty good outside of that. But I think, you know, weight, obviously, yes, it can be necessary in some ways. It can be a great indicator or something that you just have to follow, you know, whether that's a weightlifter or a powerlifter or a combat athlete. You know, if you're entering an event at a certain weight, chances are you might need to drop a little bit, but it's not, you know, this constant, I'm constantly trying to chase a number on the scales. There's a purpose for it in a way. But I think, you know, there are definitely times when it's not necessary to utilize weight, which, you know, what's everybody else's opinion on that?
Yeah, I think I completely agree, right? And I think this is where it's important, especially as practitioners, that you need to acknowledge this and you need to learn how to integrate it into your practice. Because the reality is, especially with what we do, there are going to be times where you need to focus on weight. If we've got weight category athletes that need to make weight, you need to focus on that. That is a metric you need to focus on. Where you can come in and integrate all of this is, obviously, you can encourage them not to cut as much weight. A lot of the time we're finding now that cutting a lot more weight generally does not mean you get a better performance. It does not mean that anything positive comes from just cutting as much weight as your body can physically handle. We're starting to see that. And then, like Jack said, having these conversations around it. It's like, you don't need to be so fixated on your weight. Yeah, this time of the year, when we've got this competition period, yeah, we're going to have to look at that scale weight. But if you do this properly and you set yourself up and you don't go drastic and we do all the testing and we know what's an appropriate weight for your body where you can still be healthy and we're not compromising any other areas of your health to make that weight. We can make that weight still looking at the scale. And then outside of that, we can have these conversations around fueling where, you know what, stuff the weight, like stuff the scale. We don't need to talk about that right now. That's not a thing. We're not competing. I need you to focus on how you're fueling your body as properly as you can. How are you feeling pre-workout? How are you feeling post-workout? Are you hydrating? Are you having enough food throughout the day that your body is recovering as best as possible after each session? Are you eating in a way that, yeah, you can go out on a Saturday or Sunday night with your friends and still enjoy a meal? So I think even when you're in this environment where, yeah, you have to focus on the weight, you can take a lot of lessons from all these other areas and you can integrate it with your athletes. And I think it's important if you're a practitioner and you are in a weight category sport or you work with weight, you have to have those combos and you have to develop your practice so that you're not always focusing on the weight. And this is going to lead me to our next conversation. I think we can all appreciate this as athletes ourselves. And Loz, I'll get it, throw it back to you as a former elite figure skater. Obviously, you're not making weight, but there's a lot of focus on what your weight is, right? Tell us about what that does to you mentally when you're going through that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, looking back at it now, I can 100% say, oh, so for context, yeah, I used to be a figure skater and I did it for, say, 12 years competing. I suppose what sparked this conversation is, yeah, as Jordy mentioned, don't have to weigh in, but, you know, we're wearing all these little leotards, you know, lots of skin showing, stockings, you know, we're out there performing. And it is an aesthetic sport similar to gymnastics. And there is this really big kind of stigma that those types of sports have a really negative kind of connotation with body image and everything like that. And the reason I'm a dietitian today is because I've struggled, you know, with disordered eating in the past. And it did happen whilst I was a skater, but it never stemmed from a pressure to be thin or to look thin. It was kind of, you know, I was never pressured by my coaches. I've always been, you know, a regular build. I was never pressured by coaches or peers or, you know, anyone else in the sport to look a certain way. It was just kind of a complex I think I developed myself of, you know, looking at all these other girls and thinking, wow, she looks so great, or, oh my gosh, I would love to look like her. So it probably stemmed from comparison. And also, you know, as an athlete, you want to be healthy, but sometimes you can take being healthy to the extreme whereby, you know, you cut out all the things you love, chocolate or chips or whatever. So there's also, I guess, then that association with, you know, health and I guess obsession. But yeah, being in that sport for a long time, having, you just go into a rabbit hole of, okay, I need to look a certain way, I need to weigh a certain way, which was dictated by absolutely nothing other than my own imagination really and what I believed or what I perceived to be, I suppose, desirable. And that stuck with me for a very long time and it was very hard. And, you know, people will look at me now as a dietitian, they go, oh, you'll never understand how I feel, or, you know, like I've got a really bad relationship with food, but you would never have dealt with that. And it's, you know, most, like, the reality is probably a lot of people, you know, more often than not, have had their own negative experience with food or with their body or with both. And I think, yeah, it can definitely shape who you are. Like, I'm grateful for it now looking back, but no doubt it was the hardest years of my life because you're just constantly comparing yourself to other people for no reason. And all around this weight and or body composition ideal that you have in your head. So I think some sports more probably susceptible. I've read quite a lot of, you know, bad stuff about gymnastics and the pressure that athletes get from their coaches. But my own experience, yeah, was never pressured by other people. It was just myself. But no doubt, you know, same with swimmers. They're always in bathers, probably going to be that pressure there to look or feel a certain way. And no doubt with some sports, it probably is an advantage to be a little bit lighter. You know, if you're jumping or, you know, you're running, probably the less body weight you have to carry, the easier it is. Same with skating, you know, I'm jumping, spinning, going quite fast. There was, I suppose, a benefit to being a little bit lighter, but I didn't have to weigh in on comp day. You know, there was never anything attached to my weight other than, yeah, just, I suppose, my own mental kind of drama there.
Yeah, I think everyone can relate to me and Dojo were talking about this when we were just in Austin and I was showing him photos. What sparked it was when it was my birthday the other day, a couple people shared photos of a period in my life when I was competing a lot in jujitsu. And I think it's exact same thing. I went through this mental thing where you develop not a bad relationship with food or so much like with body image, but a very twisted sense of what reality really is. I remember when I was competing about 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 sometimes kilos lighter than what I am now, And I showed Dojo a photo of me weighing in and I was completely shredded, not an ounce of fat on me. And I remember at that time thinking, there's probably more weight I can lose off myself. There's probably more fat here. And I remember just looking at this photo and I was showing it. I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, yeah, you look like super shredded and you've got like six pack and all these things. But it's like, I remember feeling so horrible and for weeks, just not being able to go out. And I remember going out with my partner, going out to dinner and like getting a meal. And like my like cheat meal was I got an extra chicken breast with some extra lettuce and put some sauce on it. And that's just like not a way to live your life. Like it's such a depressing way to, but at the time, because you're so wrapped up in this environment and you're developing all these strange mental cues, you think it's fine. And I think that's why it's important to have these conversations, because it's not, because at the end of the day, it's not. And I was talking to a friend, I caught up with him on the weekend, and he started jiu-jitsu a few years after I did. And he just heavy getting into his competition now. And he said to me, he's like, man, I used to compete at 80 kilos. And he's like, I just did not like it. It made me hate the sport. It made me like really mess up my relationship with my friends. Like I couldn't go out. He's like, me and my girlfriend were always fighting because we couldn't go out and have fun. And like the meals we had to cook. He's like, now I compete 10 kilos heavier. I walk around, I can come out, have a beer with you and see my friends. He's like, I'm competing tomorrow. And like, we just went out for dinner and I had a wine and like, I feel great. And he goes, you know what? And I'm winning way more. He's like, I'm just winning. And it's like in every area of my life, it's so much better. And he even said, but it's funny the pressure you feel to go down there. And he's like, it's not like anyone really tells you to do it or anyone says, hey, get down there. It's just like you feel this pressure. So having conversations like this and openly saying, hey, look, that's not always the case. And coming from us, I can say for an absolute matter of fact, and I cannot wait till the UFC release all their data and then we can compile all the data from all our athletes. I can tell you that, yes, there is an ideal performance body composition for each individual, but it absolutely does not look like the 3 to 5 to 7% shredded bodybuilder physique athlete build that we often associate. It's more way up in the teens, early to mid to sometimes late teens. And it's very, very different for everyone. And you have to find what works for you. And I think when you're finding your ideal body composition, it's not just what weight you can get to. It's not just like how you're performing in the gym. It's how you're performing in every other area of your life, how you're performing in all your social areas, in your mental health, in your relationships, because all of that ultimately impacts what your performance is going to be if you're competing. Even if you're an everyday recreational athlete, all of those things are going to impact it. So having these conversations are going to be really important. Before we finish up, Jack, I want to throw it over to you because you've been doing this for a long time and you've seen this with so many athletes. What type of combos are you having with your guys inside and outside of these competition periods to help them balance this mindset when it comes to getting fixated with their weight and the scale?
Well, I think firstly, like in camp, because obviously, you know, a lot of people come to us in camp, and I think it's important to establish like certain weigh-in times or days per week, because what I find, usually people weigh themselves every day and then I'll get an email saying, oh, I'm heavier today and freaking out and not kind of understanding. So kind of educating them on the normal fluctuations and kind of ask them just to weigh themselves once, maximum twice per week, so we can get a bit of an average, just to stop the kind of obsession and kind of understand that there's normal fluctuations within this kind of process. But again, what I do, obviously, you know, in camp, we have a certain goal. So it's important we do track weight to ensure that everything's tracking as normal. But outside that, still in camp, I still very much promote concentrating on other variables, like how you're feeling, how training is, how recovery is going, how overall energy is, mood and mental health. So even in camp, we do concentrate on weight to a certain extent, but I'm also looking at other variables. So when we move to out of camp, obviously I think that, you know, kind of looking at our weight every now and then just to ensure we know where we're at, just so we know we're not probably in a crazy surplus, but more so focusing on different things, kind of giving yourself a break from the monotony and grind and kind of that fixation on the scales. And just, again, concentrating these other variables I just spoke about, concentrating how the mood is, concentrating on your training, how you're recovering, but also the other factors we not many people speak about is like, you know, going out and enjoying yourself, you know, having that freedom, having that balance. That balance is something that I'm very big on at the moment, giving people, once they've finished a competition, giving that balance, which is, you know, trying to eat as healthy as possible, but obviously allowing yourself to enjoy the foods that you're wanting outside of that. And I really find that when you find that balance, when you when these people, when our athletes or just general population allow themselves to eat that food, you see that their weight doesn't spike or drop. It kind of stays stagnant in a very great position because they're not getting these huge cravings. They're getting the food in that they want and they enjoy. And when the balance is there, their weight can kind of even, their body composition can improve, or they can just stay where they need to be at because the kind of psychology behind it and their mental health improves. They don't get the cravings, the stress levels decrease. And we know when that happens, the body composition kind of starts to level out and you start to be in a better position. So I think outside of camp, I just really try to promote balance, not weighing yourself as much, you know, obviously not going out and having KFC every day if you're trying to perform optimally and be as healthy as possible. But again, eating as healthy as possible, but also giving yourself that break. If you want a muffin, give yourself a muffin. And kind of, yeah, again, what I'm saying is just balance, you know, foster that positive health relationship with food and obviously with your body image, because I think what you just spoke about, Jordy, if you look at the UFC, everyone celebrates the Michael Chandlers, the Yoel Romero, the guys who are yoked and shredded. That's something that's always celebrated. But again, there's guys who don't have that yoked body who perform better, if not just the same as them. And so again, like, I know people celebrate the fact that these yoked, shredded guys are the top tier, but again, if you look at it objectively, guys with, you know, who aren't as shredded or have different body composition can perform just as good or even better.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Let's go around. I want to ask both of you guys before we finish with a summary point each. Let's just ask the last question. Loz, is it appropriate to track weight? Do you have to do it?
I think, as always, it really depends on the person. Some people just love chasing that number. It works really well for them. You know, they'll set a goal and for some reason, that's all they care about and that works for them. You know what? You do you. If that's going to work, let's do it. Also, I suppose if you're in a weight category sport and you have to make a certain weight, then yes, it is a very important metric to follow. However, for the most people, I think if you've, you know, if there's any kind of history of, you know, bad relationship with food, body image, training, focus on other things that Jack's mentioned. You know, progress doesn't need to be measured by weight. You can measure your progress by how you're training. Are you hitting 1RMs now? You know, are you beating that other person in the ward that you never used to beat? You know, are you sleeping better? Do you have a better relationship with food? You know, all these types of things can be also an indicator of progress so much more than weight. So I think it really depends on the individual. If you're in a weight category sport or it just really gets you going, it really motivates you to change your ways to be healthier or to, you know, kind of implement these healthy practices in your life, you know, it can work for the individual. But again, everyone's different. Different strategies work for other people. Finding other measures of progress I find to be more helpful and also more sustainable in the long term. So personally for me, I wouldn't track my weight. I also don't have a reason to, but I am aware that some people, it does work for them.
Jack, what would you say?
Yes, I completely agree. I think that scale weight is usually a poor indication of progress if you're looking at changing body composition and improving health. I think outside of weight category sports, it's definitely something that's not needed. I think that if people focus on other variables, like we've spoken about, like, you know, improvements of mood, mental health, body image, all those kind of things, that you will be healthier in body and mind. And then, you know, the progress that you'll see will be continue and be more sustainable.
What about you, Jordy?
If you're at either end of that spectrum, like we spoke about, if you're at the extreme underweight or the extreme overweight, then I think, yeah, it's an important conversation you need to have with an adequately educated healthcare provider who can take you through that process of, yeah, affecting, you know, positive change to affect your health positively. That's a really important conversation. If it's just for everyday general population people who are looking to become healthier and looking to improve their health or improve, you know, their performance or whatever it is, personally, I think if you're going to use a scale and you're not as well educated on all of the factors that can fluctuate that thing every single day, and you're going to be checking it every day, I think that the chips are probably stacked against you that you're going to end up having a bad time with it. You're probably going to have a bad time if you don't understand that if you just drink heaps of water before you go to bed, you're going to wake up heavier. If you have way more fibrous foods, which is a good thing, you're going to wake up heavier. If you just enjoy more frequent meals or you like to push your meals later at night and you're just not digesting and pushing them through, you're going to wake up heavier. If you don't understand all of that, and it takes time to understand that and then how all of these factors work within your body, the chips are probably stacked against you. You're going to have a bad time with the scale. I tell all my guys, first few months, just who cares? Kick it under the bed. Like, there's so many other things that you can focus on to get better results. Like Jack said, like you'll sleep better, your energy levels will be better, your libido will be better, your training will be better, your recovery will be better, you'll have better relationships, like you'll be an overall better person. All these positive things that have absolutely nothing to do with your weight. Once you've got all those things in check and you're in a really good positive physical and mental place, yeah, maybe bring it out and you can start playing around with it. And then when you understand what goes on with your body and you have a good, you know, baseline nutrition literacy, and you understand when you eat certain things is going to fluctuate your weight, yeah, bring it out and have a play around, play around with your body composition. But until you get there, leave the thing under the bed. But I think that's a pretty good spot to end that there. I'll leave it to you guys. Do you guys have any final remarks? If someone is listening to this and they're thinking, you know what, I'm like kind of freaking out about this scale weight, what would you tell them? I'll start with you, Loz, and we'll finish with you, Jack.
And always reach out. We're here to help if you know you need help yourself. But I think it would help just to determine kind of what are your goals. You know, are you trying to prepare for, you know, for a weightlifting comp, or you just want to have a better relationship with food, or you want more energy? Because, you know, different priorities there with those types of goals. So I think, yeah, getting clear on what your goals are and what you really hope to get out of a change of, say, nutrition or training, would be a good place to start. Just having a, you know, bit of self-reflection.
Yeah, I'll finish on you, Jack.
Yep. Outside of like weight category sports, if the scale weight or the scale is causing you like negative emotions or you're tracking that and not feeling good about yourself, put it away for a few weeks. Try to focus on the variables we spoke about in this podcast. I'm sure you'll feel a lot better about yourself and your progress.
Yeah. I think lastly, what I want to finish on is like, it's fun to talk to someone about this. I think when I went through like my heavy competing period where I did have like a lot of these weird issues, it would have benefited me so much talking to someone about, like talking to a healthcare practitioner. Hey, why do I get so obsessed with this? Or what is going on with this? Like, that's absolutely fine. I feel like in a lot of sports and gyms as well, it's not so much frowned upon, but it's not promoted as much as it should be. Like, that's absolutely fine. If you are feeling like this and you're getting overwhelmed by it, go chat to someone. That's absolutely fine. Go to your doctor and have a chat to them and they can direct you. Reach out to a healthcare provider, find someone reputable on social media and chat to them. You know, go have that conversation. It's completely fine. But let's leave that one there. If you guys have any more questions, comments about this, I do want to dig into a Hayes episode because I think that is an important topic to talk about. It's a good topic to dissect and really go through the evidence and talk about the positives and negatives of it, because there's a lot of learnings and a lot of positive changes that people can make by understanding that topic a lot more. But until next time, guys, thanks for taking the time. We'll chat then.
Cheers.
Thank you.
And there it is, another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. Whether you choose to use scale weight as a metric to track your progress is entirely up to you, but it is important that you're aware of the potential implications of doing so, especially over the long term. As always, if you're concerned about your relationship with the scales, then reach out to an adequately trained healthcare provider. This podcast will be available through the podcast app, iTunes, Spotify, and YouTube, and if you follow along our socials at @the_fightdietitian, you can see all of the best bits from our podcast episodes. Thanks for listening in, and I'll see you guys for the next episode of the TFD Performance Podcast.